Now, I can minister to you. You can minister to me. But I can't believe for you, and you can't believe for me. Every Christian has been commissioned and called by God to walk in relationship with God Almighty and to hear His voice for themselves. We're not in religion. Religion is about very often, when I'm using the word religion, I'm talking about dead rituals and facades that are on the front. I'm talking here about living faith. I'm talking about the reality of our redemption. There's a big difference. Many, many churches, you know, many churches live in the Old Testament. The preachers always preach in the Old Testament. And you know why they preach the Old Testament? Because it doesn't pin them down to new creation realities. Because they haven't got any. They've got loads of words, talk for hours, boring everyone. And the people in the congregation, they're there in their pews. And one day someone stood up and said, "Let my people go." It's a joke, everyone. not a good one, obviously. But you know, but there, you, what we be, whenever you have to tell people it's a joke, it's a bad sign, Macy. So the thing is, you know, we're talking here about new creation realities, okay? And so I have to hear what the Lord tells me to do for myself. And you know, a lot of Christians, you know, they come around, "Have you got a word for me? Anyone got a word for me? You got a word for me? Why do they want a word? They want a word because they're not hearing from God for themselves. I don't need a word from anyone. If someone's got a word for me, as someone had this week, great. And someone I respect and trust, someone with a proven track record of giving words, words of knowledge, rather, I'm very happy to receive it. That's tremendous. What a blessing. But, you know, I don't need that because I'm hearing the word for myself as I study the word and as I walk with him. He speaks to me. So when it comes to the vaccine, what should we do? What shall I do? What shall I do with the vaccine? What shall I do? Well, go to God. What has God told you to do? Spend time with God. Find out what God wants you to do. Spend time with God. Do your research. Spend time with God. And this is what the Lord's calling us to do. Now, here's something I want to touch on. I wasn't sure if I would touch on this. I'm going to touch on this. I wouldn't usually touch on this type of subject, but I want to because it pertains to what we're involved with here. Rabbi Zacharias, a well-known Christian man who recently died just a few months ago, but his ministry was shocked to receive claims that, in fact, this man of God who was world-renowned for being an apologist and someone who was very capable as an apologist and, you know, met with all the dignitaries of the world and was very well and widely respected, they were shocked to receive the reports that he had been involved with, I won't go into details, but things that weren't right. And this was very shocking for them, and they denied it. But then they employed an independent law firm to investigate, and the law firm uncovered complete proof that, in fact, he was clearly leading a double life. And awful revelations of his inappropriate behavior. Well, people say, "Well, how can that be for a Christian leader?" Well, I'm sorry, I've got past the stage of being shocked because it happens over and over and over again. And as I reflected on this, one of the things that I would never gravitate towards him because I'd always ask myself the question, well, okay, it's good, but I'd always gravitate back to, where's the power? So there's always good arguments, good wise arguments. It seems like there's a lot of things, but no power. I don't see the power. When I look at Jesus' ministry, I see power. So there's power, there's miraculous power there. When I look at the Apostle Paul, I see power. When I look at people who follow Jesus and the testimonies of those who will follow Jesus in the New Testament, you shall receive power when that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the explosive power of God. That's an integral part of the Christian life. It's not religious rituals. It's reality. It's power. It's the power that can be applied into all sorts of areas of life. So these people who are cessationists today, you know, of which they have a lot of wise arguments. Cessationists mean they think the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased. They ceased. So they don't believe in miracles. They don't believe that God does miracles. They don't believe in any of that. And they'll laugh at Christians who do believe that. And they'll mock Christians who believe in that. And my reply to them is very strong. And it's biblical, because these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. How many people know that there's still demons to be cast out? I've done this stuff. This is a church that does that stuff. This has happened here many times in the Sunday evenings, usually. Demons coming out of people. All sorts of things, the supernatural things. We spoke about the things of God, the mist of God. Demons coming out of people. Miracles happening. Things that are impossible, and they happen. What's that? That's part of what happens when someone's following Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, there must be supernatural power. There must be that power. If you don't have that power, then who are you following? It can be just a mental thing. It can be religion. I think that there's so many people who attend church these days, there's no power. Where's the... If there's no power, no Jesus. No Jesus, no miracles. No Jesus, no miracles. But where Jesus is, there's always miracles. Of one kind or another. But, you know, that man, he had a good worldview, and he would talk about, you know, the origin and the meaning of life for morality and destiny. And, he would speak at these conferences and that sort of thing. But obviously in some areas there was lacking power. Now, whatever area there's a weakness in your life, I want to say this morning, God wants you to expect and receive power for that weakness. So where that weakness is, you can not be victim to a weakness in your life, but employ the power of God and be victorious in that area. Amen? So let's read the scriptures. Come with me then. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And we're moving swiftly through here this morning. We'll move very swiftly and go into more detail this evening, in a Bible study this evening, again on the Facebook. Feel free to come on. And if you do come on, make sure you put the hearts up and the thumbs up and all the rest. Lets people know, and it helps with the algorithms, and it just helps us build things. Do as much of that as you can with the likes and things. Yes. Okay, so let's read then from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, the gospel doesn't make sense in the natural. We employ wisdom at some level, but here's where this surpasses wisdom. We're dealing now with supernatural truth. A man comes to earth, is crucified for my sins. Logically, this is a strange doctrine, my friends, a very strange doctrine. But Paul determined to know nothing apart from this doctrine. Why? Because that's the power of God. The power of God is in this. It doesn't make sense to our logical minds to a large degree, but there's power in this. This is where the power of God is found, through the cross of Jesus Christ. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, that's an appropriate verse for the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, in our church, we've had people come in wheelchairs and they've walked out. Amen. We've had people come we even one time had a man with his glasses on, blind, couldn't read, and by the end we took the glasses off, ministered healing, and given the Bible and said, "Read!" And he read the Bible. Hallelujah, that's happened in our church. We've had people coming with terminal illness, and God has raised them up. We've seen these things in our church. This has been something that's been relevant to us. We can testify that we have not walked with human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And why? Why do I go on about that? Why do I point to that? Because I'm never wanting to point to human beings. I'm always wanting to point each one of us to him, to Jesus. If anyone in here has ever been used by God to do anything, great. You are an arrow to Jesus. And none of us takes any boasting in anything that God might have used us to do or to be. But we boast in Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our wonderful Savior. That's what this is all about. Hallelujah. Oh, my friends, this is a beautiful truth and the gospel. And this is the testimony of Living Faith Church. We have a tremendous testimony, and we're only just beginning. We're just getting started. And, you know, it's been very interesting. Praise God. Well, we could apply it in all sorts of areas. I remember when Living Faith Church needed to find £250,000. We didn't have that money in the bank. We didn't have anything like that money in the bank. We took a collection one Sunday morning. There was 40 people present in the old church in Winstanley. 40 people present. We took a collection. We prayed in the week. We just prayed. We said, "Lord, if this church is for you, if this is your church, you've got to pay for it." We took a collection one Sunday morning. We raised £114,000. And I certainly wasn't coercing anyone. You'll never, ever hear me coercing anyone, begging, we need you to give. Never, ever will I ever do that. Because it's God's church, and it's God who builds his church. And it's all about him, and he does it. And that's what this is the legacy, this is the testimony. And this is God's work among us. This isn't us, this is God. This is what God is using us to. He's proving the scripture in our assembly. Well, we don't have 1,000 here, but I mean, if we had 1,000, so, you know, it would be the same thing. Because with these testimonies, you know, you could readily expect 1,000 if you're in some places in the world. But we're not bothered on that. That doesn't matter. It's the content that matters. It's the reality that matters. And if the reality's here, the rest follows. But let's be biblical. Let's be on the word. Let's have the reality of this. So then it says here in verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. Everyone say hidden. Everyone say it with a mystery in their voice. Hidden. Hidden. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have I entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, the word hidden there means to conceal, to be kept secret, to hide away, to conceal. Come with me to Mark 10. Mark 4. So we've got something hidden there. And in Mark 4 from verse 10, it says this. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery. Everyone say mystery in that mysterious voice. Mystery. Oh no, you've got to be a bit more mysterious. Mystery. Mystery. Hidden mystery. Of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. I once heard a bishop talking about this, you know, and he was explaining why Jesus taught in parables. My brother, this brother's from Iran as well. We must talk afterwards, have a little conversation. But this bishop was talking about why things come in parables, and he was saying, Jesus was helping people to understand the truth. That's why he spoke in parables. You see, this bishop was telling everyone in these lectures, Jesus talked in parables to explain the truth, to unpack the truth of God. Well, that's not the case at all. Again, he didn't know what he was talking about. Let's read why Jesus talked in parables right here. Verse 12, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. It was hidden from them. He's talking in parables to hide it from people. He's talking in parables so that it's a mystery to them outside. But the church has made it understood. Jesus is trying to, you know, he's always trying to, you know, get people to say, no, you misunderstand. No. Something's hidden. Not pouring it all out. Not throwing his pearls to swine. Hidden. Mystery. Why? There's power in it. You don't give children a machine gun. They can't handle the power of a machine gun. But there's power for those who are in the kingdom. If they have ears to hear, eyes to see, it's there for them. The word in the Greek there, for mystery, to you it has been given in verse 11, know the mystery of the kingdom of God. What's the mystery of the kingdom of God? It's in the Greek, mysterion, a mystery, secret, of which initiation is necessary to understand. There has to be an initiation to understand the mystery. That's how that word is used. Have you had an initiation into the kingdom of God? Have you been initiated into the kingdom of God? You have to be initiated into the kingdom of God to know the mystery, to hear his voice, to know what he's saying. The initiation has to have taken place. Has it taken place in your life? When did it take place? What happened? You know, I'm having people applying to Tikkun, the network, to become ministers. And they send their paperwork in. They want to be ministers. And I speak to them over the phone usually then after they fill their paperwork in. And we begin the process. I take them through a course. And we begin the process by phone conversations usually. And this week again, I've been doing that. And so one of the phone calls that I had, and what I always try and do in the phone calls is try to understand this. Try to hear what happened. When did the initiation take place? When did God call you into this ministry? How did he call you into this ministry? I want to hear their story. I want to hear what God has done and how they responded to God's voice. This is a vital part. The other word here, else they should be forgiven. Else their sins be forgiven them. Jesus is talking in parables, else they'll turn and their sins will be forgiven them. In other words, Jesus doesn't want their sins forgiven. He's talking in parables so that their sins won't be forgiven them. Are you with me this morning, everyone? Does that cause a dichotomy in your thinking? If you're with me, it should cause a dichotomy in your thinking to some degree, because it's not what we're taught. But what we're doing this morning is, I don't want to spoon feed everyone like babies. I want us to think for ourselves, understand for ourselves, so that we can be mature in the faith and understand what the word is saying and be robust and you know, walk with that clear understanding of what the word is saying here. And what it's saying is this, to be forgiven them. It says here in verse 12, and their sins be forgiven them. And that word forgiven there, in the Greek again, it says this, released. They'd be released. So it wasn't time for them to be released. It's not time for them to be released. Not that they wouldn't be released in the future, perhaps. But right now, in that verse, Jesus is talking to the 12. And he was talking to the 12 for them to be released. For them to be released in the power of the gospel, to share the power of the gospel. But it's not the time for the others to be released just yet. It's not their time. But my friends, it is our time. As believers now in Jesus, it is our time to be released in the power of the gospel. And that power means that he will speak to us in our minds and we will manifest in our lives the power of the gospel of Jesus. Now, what do you need in your life today? What are you facing in your life? What situation is there? Maybe it's family, friends, business, whatever the situation is. God's invite to us who know him is to exercise faith. Exercise the power that God has given each one who is a believer in that situation. Exercise the power. You know, there's the illustration of the Christian who is beaten by the enemy. And the enemy comes and he beats on this Christian, and the Christian is in the corner of the room and he feels the satanic attack. And the satanic attack, in whichever way it may come, you know, there's all different ways. But he's there and he's hammered down, and oh no, it's the enemy again, and bang, bang, bang. And the enemy's beating him up, and he pleads to God, oh please, God, please help me, help me. And God, in his mercy, comes and helps him, and the enemy goes away. And then in a short period again, the same thing. And this man gets used to living like this. Oh, he's leaving, you know, I'm broken, like the song says, you know, I'm broken, I'm broken. And he's living like that, pleading to God, and God comes there. And God, in his mercy, allows people to live like that. And so many believers live like that. But the reality is, as Acts 1:8 says, you should receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And as we've been reading here this morning, Paul, he didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. This man who's been beaten, and he's crying out, and he's crying. What he needs to do is to lay hold on the weapons of his warfare, which are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Lay hold on those weapons, employ those weapons, stand up and say, I will be mature in my Christian faith, turn and face the enemy, and employ the weapons that he's been given. Employ the weaponry of God against the situation that you're in. What's your situation? Whatever the situation is, if it is a sickness, if it's a disease, employ the weaponry of God. Say, God, you're with me. I employ your resources against this situation. And employ the weaponry of God. Instead of going through whining and whinging and wimping around, that's not the call of the gospel. I'm broken now. We're not singing that. Are you with me this morning, everyone? God's with us. God's got plans for us. God loves you. And he's put inside of you his own power. The weaponry of God is mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And he's saying to you this morning, employ it. Put a demand on it. Demand on it. This is how I pray. Sometimes something isn't going right, and I just pray a prayer, and I just a normal prayer, and I just pray. And it keeps on, and it keeps on. And if it keeps on for too long, I say, right, I'm going to go in my room, and me and God are going to do business together. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to employ everything I have and get the scriptures and study the scriptures, and in humility before God. But I am telling God, I am demanding of God. I put a demand on God. Can you do that? Yes. God likes it when we put a demand on him, in the sense of using that which he has for us. And I say, Lord, I now employ that which you've given me, and I command that thing to change in Jesus' name, whatever it might be. There have been times in my life where I've had to bind things. It says I can bind things in the scripture. I bind those things in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose other things in Jesus' name. But he wants me to be engaged in the reality of redemption, the reality of the New Testament. Not a book of nice little suggestions, but a reality. This book is for my life, my day-to-day life, and I will employ it. And I find there's tremendous power when we do that. But we must yield to God. And when we yield, there's great power. Are you with me this morning, friends? Do you have things that you could take this and employ them for? Employ this perspective for? I have. Every day we walk with Jesus. You know, as I close here, finally, that man who I mentioned at the start, Ravi Zacharias, I felt sorry for his wife. Felt sorry for him. Felt sorry for the whole staff, the ministry. Felt sorry for those people that he had frankly, abused. How did that happen? I think it happens because people feed their needs rather than going to God every day. We have to stick close to the Lord. Not one of us, you know, can be presumptuous. Not one of us needs to be presumptuous. Each one of us needs to walk close to the Lord, humbly before God, employing the scriptures, being confident of God, but walking humbly before God. And just daily. And you know the four cylinders that we have, don't you? Come on, tell me them as we close here. There's four cylinders. Picture with me, everyone. Maybe not everyone's heard of them, but there's four cylinders here. They're Perspex cylinders. And every day we get a chance to pour into them. The first one is entitled... Sorry? Prayer. The first one can be prayer. What's the second one? Worship. Okay. What's the third one? The Word. Studying the Word. And we added a fourth one, didn't we? What's the fourth one? Evangelism, thank you. Four containers for everyday life. Prayer. How much prayer has there been today? How much worship has there been today? How much Bible study has there been today? And evangelism, if there's an opportunity, every day. There may not be some days, but if there is, always ready. When we were on the street, you know, we were ready with the to evangelize as people, as the postman was walking past. But because we're walking with the Lord, these things then are an everyday reality. The time to check is this. If you're missing in one of these four areas, especially the first three daily, that could be a sign that things need to change quickly. Okay? I believe that man ended up where he was because he had so many people telling him that he was great and he was tremendous and what a wonderful man he is. And oh, we're so happy to have you with us. A man like you coming to visit us. I can picture all the words now. And he was a long way off course and had been for a long, long time. But they didn't have discernment. So let's stick close to Jesus every day. Amen. Let's stand, everyone, as we have our...